place to go. Have no place to go. Darling, have no place to go. Have no place to go.
Hi, 6:11 underway already. Because when I start talking, the show's underway. It's not that hard to figure this place out. This would be the Steve Cochran Show number 1,452. What time is Mike Madigan on today, Joe? Do we know?
Let me check the schedule.
Okay. Must be 1,452 consecutive shows he hasn't appeared on. The invite is still out there, though.
Have you been stood up by him before?
Yeah, he doesn't respond to our invitation. He doesn't have a phone that you can call.
Oh, I see. So it's not like he is actually scheduled.
No.
He's invited, just never comes.
Oh, okay.
Permanently invited.
Yes.
Got it.
Oh. Remember, when you hear the Mike Madigan crickets, be the seventh caller, win a prize. 312-981-7200.
I just want to know the big question.
Oh, yes.
Did you go last night?
Yes.
You did?
Very tired.
Oh, boy. Well,
bitter.
I'm proud of you. Oh,
bitter. The movie's great. Jim Gaffigan's great.
The whole movie?
As far as you know, I did. Jim Gaffigan's great. And by the way, I spoke to Gaffigan at length yesterday. He came in. We got a podcast up. Where do I find that, Joe, the Jim Gaffigan podcast?
That would be at WGNradio.com/Cochran.
All right, go there. You can hear the longer conversation with Gaffigan and me. And I'm proud of him. I mean, that's a guy I've known for a long time, and he pulls it off. He is a scary, creepy lunatic in this movie.
Where do you
Nothing
think he,
funny about it.
Where do you think he pulled that from?
I talked to him about it in the podcast. You'll have to listen to the podcast to find out his actor answer.
Oh, well, I can tell that he definitely has really great rapport with you, and he really has a lot of respect for you, I think.
Well, I don't know about that, but what I do know is we both move at the same speed. We were walking down the studio to do the podcast yesterday, and I've talked often about the fact that Ron Santo, after illness, created a problem enough where he had to have part of his leg amputated at one point in the old Tribune Tower, came up behind me and said, "Damn, you walk slow." And he had one leg.
Maybe it's all the kids, because he had so many kids. A lot to keep up with. He's probably run down.
I'm telling you, Santo, well, he's an athlete. But I'm Mosey.
Oh, I met Gaffigan.
Oh, Gaffigan?
Yeah.
How many kids does he have?
Gaffigan's got five.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm Mosey and Gaffigan. What's slower than Mosey? We left my office yesterday about 10:30 to do the podcast. The studio's 100 yards away. We didn't start the podcast at what, 11:15, 11:45? So slow walking it.
Crawl.
I'm looking at scooch might be the word. Scooch, is that
or
it?
Or crawl.
Scooch would mean you would be on your bum.
Yeah.
Like slowly, just not even on your feet.
Yeah, my 9-month-old granddaughter's scooching now. So she scooches.
Right. Yeah.
You know.
American Dreamer is the movie, and it's highly recommended. Anyway, we'll play back a piece of that podcast with Gaffigan later.
The other thing that's impressive about you that I've learned is that you don't drink caffeine like the rest of us.
Well, I don't drink coffee.
He drinks Diet Coke.
I drink Diet Coke.
Oh.
Yeah.
Take that off your impress list.
Okay, well, you know. Okay. But I mean, we're having like a lot of coffee over here.
Yeah. Well, listen, you're addicted. You got a problem. First step to a cure is admitting you have a problem.
I admit I have a problem. Happy Tuesday.
Lou Malnati's is what Amy in Lake Villa just won on the Mike Madigan Crickets. Listen, 6:14, let's get into the top six at six.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Get your kicks.
With the top six at six, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
After 100 years, or close to it, WGN will no longer be Chicago's very own. Now, that's just in the big picture. Of course, we'll always be Chicago's very own, as will television. But Nexstar is the new owner of this place. The Nexstar Media Group's $4.1 billion purchase of Chicago-based Tribune Media was approved by the FCC on Monday in a 3-2 vote. The two that voted no said Nexstar would now control 60% of the country's local media, and that's too much. But three voted yes, including the FCC chairman, so it's a done deal. It's the largest local TV station ownership group. They have one radio station in this company. You know what radio station they have?
What station?
720 WGN.
Wow! Next Star sounds like a battleship in Star Wars. Like, yeah, it's coming in, Next Star.
Could be. I mean, they might have a battleship.
But that makes us special.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, because we're the only ones.
Yeah, I mean, if they didn't want to own us.
David's trying to convince himself.
No, listen, we are special. If they didn't want to own us, they could have thrown us over.
Well, okay, I will feel special today, too.
Well, yeah, we were the only radio station for Tribune Media as well, so.
They thought we were special.
Exactly.
Didn't Tribune have a radio station?
Yeah, they used to.
Yeah, and then they tried to buy, whenever it was buying radio companies in the late 90s and early 2000s, they tried to buy a couple companies.
They had an FM music station in Denver for a while. There was a station in Connecticut they owned.
But one radio station survives.
Yes.
This one.
Because we're special.
And we're all from Chicago and we'll always be from Chicago.
There you go.
I just got a glimpse of Dave's like fathering technique, and I think it involves a lot of, honey, you're special.
Reassurance?
Yes, and no, I think that's why he's a great dad.
It's okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Next, Defense Department, and a story that's flying under the radar this morning, no longer moving forward with three border barrier projects in California and Arizona. In other words, no new fence. The move is a reversal of an earlier Pentagon authorization to build about 20 miles of fencing, also lighting and other border infrastructure. Would have used $2.5 billion in funds redirected. That authorization announced August 27th was based on what was then determined to be lower than expected contract costs, but the Defense Department revealed in a Monday filing the department would not be able to cover the cost of the project, and you can't take any more money from the stuff they already took money from.
So wait a second, I'm confused. So they won't be building the wall?
Correct. But at any moment,
still
Steve,
not paying for it.
At any moment, Steve, sorry, you should get some sort of telegram from Mexico,
okay,
saying they're sorry and they're going to start paying for it.
A check is on the way.
It could happen at any time. Okay. On the other side of the world, Saudi Arabia has some splaining to do. They're the number three defense spender in the world, and by percentage, essentially tied for first with what country? Do you know? Percentage of total spending based on your GDP.
Us.
Nope.
Oh.
Who spends as much money by percentage on defense? Sweden.
No way.
Sweden spends 30% of their budget on defense.
They seem like such a friendly, neutral.
Oh, no, you're thinking of the Swiss.
Oh, wait, but
don't we spend like 50% on
defense?
Really?
No.
But aren't the Swedes like about the happiest people in the world,
yeah,
too?
There's no crime there.
They're like, aren't they like the most like homogenous, happiest people?
I believe they're surrounded by people who could cause them some trouble.
And they have the best cheese.
And you got to watch those Norwegians.
And watches.
Those Norwegians are nothing but trouble. I know one, Orion. So at any rate, the Saudi Arabian situation is that the president said we're waiting for instructions from them. No, that's not how it works, Mr. President. We don't just start wars or go to wars because somebody had their oil fields attacked. And Saudi Arabia, after spending that kind of money, needs to explain how they couldn't stop an influx of drones. We'll see if we can run down an expert on military stuff like this and see if they can explain it to us.
Yeah, because if you look at what has been reported so far, allegedly the drones took off from a base along the border with Iran and flew over Iraq and Kuwait into Saudi Arabia. So flew over two countries into
it
a
seems
third.
Like somebody might have picked that up.
Yeah, think. It's a long time.
New York County District Attorney Cyrus Vance's office has subpoenaed 8 years of Trump's tax returns from his longtime accounting firm. This includes his personal returns, the Trump Organization returns as well. The subpoena marks a new escalation of the effort to obtain the president's tax returns, a battle that's largely played out in courts and will continue to do so. Limited comment from the president on that so far, but it's a brand new tweet day. Next. Americans lining up in hopes are going to be among the 10 lucky recipients of Democratic presidential candidate Andrew Yang's freedom dividends. This is the wacky thing he announced at the top of the debate last week, where he was going to give $1,000 per month to 12 different families. Okay. Or was it 10 different families? No, 10 different families get $1,000 a month. It's $120,000 of his money he's giving away. Those hoping for the cash handout now have to play the lottery. 450,000 people have entered the raffle. To enter, hopeful recipients must visit yang2020.com and enter their name, email, address, zip code. Entries will be closed Thursday at 11:59. I mean, why not a game show? We got a reality show president. Why not a game show?
Well, I love that the late night comedians were pointing out that, you know, he was saying money is the root of all evil. And that's why I'm going to give away.
Right. Well, it's essentially true.
Yeah.
What time did you go to bed? What are you doing watching late night TV?
I watch late night. That's not my
problem. What time did you go to bed?
11-ish.
I just ran into the happiest human on the planet, Vivian.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
She went to bed at 1 a.m.
Yes, we do seem to keep late hours.
Dave, what time did you go to bed?
You girls got
to
figure it out.
I went to bed, let's see, at about 10, I think.
Mary?
I went to bed after Dancing with the Stars. Oh, boy.
Yeah, I need your opinion on that later.
15-ish, yeah.
Next. Astronomers have detected the most massive neutron star ever. Of course, Steve spends the majority of his time in space.
Mm-hmm.
Steve, what's a neutron star?
I'm in space right now, as a matter of fact, speaking to you live from outer space.
Mm-hmm.
A neutron star is I know you're going to put me on the spot here, but if my science...
it's a small star, right?
It is... Well, it's a small but powerful star, I think, mm-hmm. might be a good way to explain that. Very bright star.
Mm. I'm told they're the leftover remnants of a supernova. You told me that. You just didn't want to say it out loud right now.
Say it out loud. I don't want to make it sound like I'm smarty pants.
They're incredibly dense, and so am I, with masses bigger than that of our sun. Well, they have a size comparable to the size of the city of Chicago or maybe Atlanta. So think of the sun pressed into a big city, and astronomers have found the largest one ever. They say they don't even know how it exists. It always amazes me when you see stuff that goes, hey, we just found out Jupiter's got a Starbucks. I mean, you're not there. How
know.
Do we know?
Thank you. I was thinking, we are so simpatico. I was thinking, what is this star going to do for me? What is this star going to do for us? Is it going to help us?
Well, it's important that we know stuff.
Well, but it could kill us. When a star explodes, close to us.
You don't want that star shrapnel.
You do not want that star
That's
shrapnel.
That's when we send Bruce Willis up, remember? And,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, to ride the asteroid, blow it up, and stay on the asteroid. That's what Demi Moore wanted him to do for a while. Hey, by the way, Demi Moore's apparently got a book out, Vivian. See if you can track her down. Okay?
Yeah.
She hasn't done much in a long time.
This book's got some sad stuff in it.
Oh,
yeah,
no.
Yeah, she had a rough childhood. Get in line. Lois Bear Barr, 72, from Riverwoods, is an award-winning poet and short story writer, as well as professor emerita in creative writing in Spanish at Lake Forest College. When she rides the L, she doesn't wear headphones, but instead listens to conversations on the train and then writes poetry. Barr's L rides to and from Edgewater resulted in 16 poems she hopes to eventually publish in a book, which is a small poetry collection called a chapbook.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the lesson there is stop looking at your phone, take the pods out of your ears, and experience your surroundings.
One of her poems is called "Why Aren't You Making Dinner Yet? I'm Almost Home." And I'm thinking that was a conversation she may have heard me having.
It's possible.
Yeah. Or Hand Over Your Purse.
All right.
Hand Over Your Purse is another good poem.
Well, I love all of those things when you know, in magazines they have overheard on the L or... Mm-hmm.
Give me my seat, I'm pregnant.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at a short version of Hey, What Smells Funny?
That would
There's
be a
lot.
Version.
And is
There's
that,
a lot on
is
the train.
Is that water or did somebody go to the bathroom?
Okay.
What's wet over there? Is that the poem you're referring to?
What am I stuck to right now?
I always touch the seat because we still have a lot of those seats that have that fuzzy, velvety thing on it
and
on the train.
You can't tell.
So I always gently touch it because I can wash my hand a lot easier than I can deal with wet
pants.
You
need to get one of those Dave Savini blue lights.
Oh, I don't want to.
Actually, if you hit that on the train, the entire train will be blue.
Yes. Yeah.
Get some Luminol and spray it around, then flash the light. You don't want to see that. I don't think you want to see it.
Maybe just wear the suit they wore at the end of E.T. Yeah.
That's it!
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
I was inspired enough by that Top 6 at 6 item. I've actually written a poem during the break called Hey, What Smells Funny. Would you like to hear it?
Yes.
Okay.
And it better not be me. Is it a haiku?
It's not. I don't know. Is it?
No.
It's been a long day and I'm finally headed home. Hey, that seat looks open, but what's that funky looking foam? Oh, look straight ahead. Hold on to your money. I just have one question. Hey, what smells funny? Thank you very much.
Bravo. This is why you get paid the big bucks.
You should send that in to the lady who writes the poems.
So she could throw it out?
Yeah. She could make it into a rap number.
I think we go straight to the Poetry Foundation with this one.
The question on America's mind this morning is, what the hell was Sean Spicer wearing at the top of Dancing with the Stars last night? We'll see if Mary Vandeville can answer that for us coming up. We've got your headlines next, 6:30 on 720 WGN.
Now, how old are you?
I am 10 years old.
14.
8.
12. I'm 18.
I'm 10 years old.
What grade are you in or about to go into?
I'm a senior.
8th grade.
Sophomore year.
Just finished junior year, so yes, I'm a senior.
I'm in 4th.
What do you do for fun?
I love art. Art is my favorite.
I do soccer, basketball, cheerleading, tennis, baseball.
I like to play on a trampoline, and I love to make slime.
I act in plays, and I sing all the time.
I also write stories because I love writing.
I play tennis. I also like to play soccer with my best buddy, but I'm not on a team.
Listen, you're a great kid. What do you want to be when you grow up?
I'm still figuring it out.
Pediatric oncologist.
I really want to be a marine biologist.
I'm not really sure yet, but I'm looking into biomechanical engineering.
I want to be an orthodontist because you can help kids feel better after smile.
Will you run for president someday?
I want to.
Are you excited to be on the show?
Yeah.
You sound super excited. Have you ever been more excited than this?
Yeah.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
It is 6:44, Kid of the Week time. Remember, you can get your Kid of the Week in. Send us information about a kid you think we ought to know. And do it at WGNradio.com. And your Kid of the Week could be the next Kid of the Week. Like our new friend Ryan, who's Kid of the Week today. Good morning, Ryan. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. How are you?
Doing fine. Thank you. You're 17?
18 now.
18!
July 28th is my birthday.
Good Lord, you're getting old.
A real adult.
Yeah. It's all changing now, Ryan. No more slacking, pal. Let's talk about your life a little bit. One of the really cool things I like about your story is this is not something outlandish. This is just a story of a great guy. And Ryan is a junior where?
I'm a junior. I'm a senior now at Loyola Academy.
Oh, at Loyola. Okay. Good for you. What do you think you're going to do next year? Do you know?
I'm not sure. Me and my mom's been doing a whole bunch of college visits all around. Still kind of looking and starting to get applications ready.
What are you hoping to do?
Not entirely sure yet, but something maybe along environmental policy and going possibly over to law school.
Great. You got a little brother, right?
Yes.
Tell me about him.
He's 12. He's adopted, and he's absolutely the greatest.
And how great is it to hear an 18-year-old talk about his 12-year-old brother who's absolutely the greatest?
Very cool.
Right?
Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah, it doesn't happen every time. Now, you've got a lot of responsibility because you got a cop in the family who, works crazy hours. What's your mom do?
My mom just started working for the Secretary of State as a records archivist.
Right. So with the two, quote, adults out of the house, somebody's got to take care of little bro. So you meet him after school every day?
Yeah, so sometimes I pick him up, sometimes my dad's able to grab him. But then when we get home, I get to not really take care of him. He does that mostly by himself, but be there at least.
All right, so that's not all this fine young man does, Dave. He also volunteers. What are you doing for the homeless community?
I volunteer at a place called the Just Harvest in Rogers Park, and there it's a community kitchen, so we serve about 100 or so people a day. And I go there and I volunteer and help with serving food, checking people in, all sorts of different stuff.
And a patriotic guy as well. Where's that come from?
I have two grandparents that serve, one in the Navy, one in the Marines. And then also, as you stated earlier, my dad is a police officer, so that kind of all stems from that.
You're an impressive guy, man. And I love how much you love your brother and your family, but just all the different things you're doing.
Are you thinking about staying close to home when you go off to college, or are you thinking about maybe going farther away?
That's a big thing. I've actually started off wanting to go far away, but now I'm kind of leaning back.
I was
kind of Midwest-ish.
Okay, because I was going to say, your little brother's really going to miss you, having you around full time.
He's already said I have to go to college in Chicago, just too close.
Right, where's your interest in the environment come from?
We actually have a place up in Wisconsin, just a little past the Dell, and I've always been up there outdoors, fishing, hiking, kayaking, and kind of just being there gave me experience and made me really like the outdoors and wanted to help it.
This is the next president of the United States. This is the guy.
We hope people. So.
I'm putting pressure on you, but you're getting into politics. listen, finish strong in your senior year. Get a college you want to go to. I know you're never going to forget your family or your little brother, and I hope it is close enough where he doesn't miss out on opportunities to see you. But I know you're going to have a great life, and I want you to stay in touch. And if you need money, call Dave.
Yes, feel free.
You can call Steve, too.
I may do that.
Thanks for being Kid of the Week, pal. Hold on. That's just a good guy.
Yep.
That's a
18-year-old dude.
Great way to start off the day.
Loves his family, taking care of little bro.
I mean, and even has time to volunteer.
Yeah.
How many adults do you know that make the time to volunteer?
Not very many.
No.
Yeah, not very many.
Oh, love it.
We could all do more. That's your Kid of the Week.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
All right, 6:52. I'm fascinated by the amount of money Netflix just spent on Seinfeld reruns. 180 total episodes. Netflix just spent $500 million for a five-year deal to run them. Now, here's what I don't understand. I mean, I'm a big Seinfeld fan. I own the entire series on DVD. You remember DVDs. But I've seen every episode, you know, literally four or five times. So, to make this pay off, 5 years, you have to interest a whole new group who either haven't seen the refund, really, or the reruns, or a new group who never saw the show originally. And I'm here to tell you, I don't know that Seinfeld translates to the next generation.
That's what I was about to ask you, because I know that Friends, they've discovered this phenomenon with Friends. There's a whole new generation that's watching Friends, but does Seinfeld stand the test of time and then generationally translate?
Seinfeld, the entire premise of Seinfeld was based on four incredibly narcissistic, selfish people. And we live in a time where narcissism and selfishness ain't so popular, and people aren't laughing at it. Now, I think this show's great. I think it's still funny, but I was in love with it when it came on. I'd be curious to know what your kids think of it, or because your kids growing up, they're going to have to be into this for Netflix to have this pay off.
The narcissism may not be popular, but there are a lot of narcissists out there who may be able to relate to it.
My 23-year-old laughs hysterically at it.
I was going to say, maybe it won't be like the teens and the preteens that love Friends, but maybe it'll be like kids in like their 20s going to college and 30s.
Maybe. I don't know. Look, Netflix hasn't become Netflix without making some good decisions. But man, it's a lot of money. But thank goodness for Jerry and Larry, because they need the cash.
Oh, yeah. They're so broke.
I mean, now, let's go to the Dancing with the Stars set, where Mary Vandeveld is standing by. It was a big night last night, Mary, and the most frightening aspect was I felt my television had blown up or something.
Do you watch?
Sean Spicer came out, and I saw it this morning when I watched the video.
Oh, uh-huh.
The Sean Spicer outfit with basically was wearing, speaking of Seinfeld, the pirate shirt, but in some sort of lime green color.
It was the puffy shirt. Yeah, it was like a lime green yellow mix. Oh, it's horrible.
How bad a dancer was
right.
he?
Well, he did the salsa. He wasn't as bad as I thought.
Oh, okay.
They ripped him apart, but I didn't think he would, you know, be as good as he actually could keep the beat, and he did okay. And they paired him up with one of the youngest pros, Lindsay. So I have a feeling when they do that, that means they're going to, you know, usually get booted out early because she wins a lot.
Okay.
So they put her, you know.
Tom Bergeron was very vocal when he was added to the cast about what he thought it was a terrible idea and an insult. Did he say anything about it to Sean Spicer? Was he nice to Sean Spicer?
I think he was. I don't really remember. I was fast-forwarding because it was the end of the show, and I was like, come on. So I wasn't listening to the comments as much as I should have, but I don't think he said anything. I think he just moved on. He did say at one point, I think, it might have been that one where he said, okay, we're going to go right to the scores because they're running out of time, so maybe that was his way of, you know.
Not talking to him?
Not talking to him.
So who was the best?
Oh, Erin Andrews talked to him, though. But she, yeah.
I should talk to anybody.
Right. Who is the best? James Vanderbeek.
Is that right?
Yep. He was the best. Well, they really got the B-listers going on this one. I mean, they don't have any people that are always good, you know, like the gymnasts or the figure skaters. None of them are in it.
Yeah, they're out of stars.
Yeah, out of stars.
Well, you know, Lindsay, the pro on Dancing with the Stars, came from the show that I like, So You Think You Can Dance, and that was the finale was last night. It was awesome. Oh. It's like real dancers.
Oh, she was on So You Think You Can Dance?
Yeah, and that's where she became famous, and then Dancing with the Stars took her.
And what's the deal with the Christy Brinkley thing? She broke her arm?
Yeah, she busted her arm at practice right before, 3 days beforehand. They asked her daughter, Sailor, Brinkley Cook to fill in for her. I don't know.
How'd she do?
It was rigged. She did fine. She did okay. She had 3 days to learn the foxtrot, which is really hard to learn. So I thought she did really good for that. But Christy was in the audience with her arm all wrapped up. And she came out afterwards. Oh, I'm so proud of her. Blah, you know.
Did it look like a fake cast, Mary?
What do you mean fake?
Do you think it was all?
Well, you said it was fixed.
Oh,
so.
the Christy Brinkley thing. Yeah. I'm thinking, well, maybe she really just didn't want to do it, and you know, my arm.
I didn't know if it looked like the fall.
Oh, and, and she looked like she twisted her ankle. It didn't even look like her arm hit the floor. I was like, what's going on? How did she break her arm on that?
We have here is a DWTS gate, Dancing with the Stars gate.
Yeah. Yes.
Had to be a full investigation.
Impeachment!
You know who I thought was really cute? Kate Flannery from The Office.
Oh, how'd she do?
She did okay. She's right in the middle of the pack, more towards the end. But she was very cute. She did a cute little waitress routine, working 9 to 5, I think.
She's all funny.
Yeah, she is.
Next year, they're doing Chicago, New York, and L.A. traffic reporters. So I like your chances, Mayor, because you are a great dancer.
I don't know about that.
But yeah, it's true.
It's hard. You know, it's hard remembering the routines. That's what the big, you know, you have these brain warps. You're like,
step 2, 3, 4, right, yeah. 2, 3,
Mary,
4, left,
so,
2,
Mary,
3,
at your wedding, did you do an elaborate dance with your husband?
No, I did at my son's wedding. My son and I did a dance
together. Cool.
He wanted to. He was all for it.
There was no dancing in the 80s.
There was.
That's why Kevin Bacon did Footloose, to bring dancing back. All right, Mary, thanks. We'll need your breakdowns throughout the season.
I'm on it.
Okay.
I break down American Ninja Warrior.
Is that over now?
That ended last night.
Who won?
This guy named Drew. It was
that was great, Dave. Thanks.
Did he have a character?
What?
Did he have a character? Like, I saw some dude in a mohawk.
No, he wasn't didn't wear a mask or anything.
Okay. I honestly,
too much on TV.
How much do they win on that show?
$1 million.
Wow.
I honestly don't know how any of them do what they do.
It's crazy.
Those stunts
that
are ridiculous.
Stuff is ridiculous.
Yeah, really is.
Dave, you should do it.
No, are you kidding me?
Come on.
Next year, what they're doing, Dave, is Chicago sports reporters.
Yeah,
Chicago,
right.
New York, and LA.
While Mary's doing
reporters.
Dancing with the Stars.
You're going to be doing that. It's a minute before 7, and we'll come back with Steve in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom next on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show.
On 720 WGN.
I like this. Is this one of the new bumps?
I made it recently. This isn't the one you sent me yesterday, though.
So it's part of the Amy Cochran collection?
No, I made this before.
Okay. You're working on the Amy Cochran collection?
I am indeed.
Amy said, freshen up your bumps.
Oh, I love Amy.
Yeah.
I like that. Do you find that you, like, if your kids tell you something, then it's like it's in, like when your kids tell you?
Yeah, well, my kids are smart and nice people. So, yeah, generally speaking.
I love that.
My son has really good advice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so when I talk to him, I got to make an appointment. But when I talk to him, I got some tech help for you this morning from Popular Mechanics. Dave, when you and I were kids,
mm-hmm.
Popular Mechanics was a cool magazine to have.
Yeah, it was actually on tablets back then.
Yes, they would etch it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would run it from village to village, and a town crier would tell you the new Popular Mechanics.
Correct.
Was in. But this morning, Popular Mechanics wants you to know, if you're concerned about your data being stolen, shared, and suddenly why ads are popping up on your phone you didn't ask for, they have 7 apps you better delete from your phone right now. You want to know what they are?
Yes.
Angry Birds. Anybody got Angry Birds on their phone anymore?
Nope.
Angry Birds. Angry Birds, one of the biggest data pilfering operations there was. They claim it's safe to use now, but Popular Mechanics says nope. They say that you can shoot all the pigs and flinging birds all you want, but don't do it with Angry Birds. They're stealing your data. What about Gas Buddy? You know Gas Buddy?
No.
Gas Buddy's an app that tells you where cheap gas is.
That's what Dave was talking about yesterday.
Yeah.
But I don't have the app.
I don't either.
It's gonna
husband does.
Going to go up a dime to a quarter a gallon, so a lot of people might even be downloading it today. But while it's meant to help you save money, it also means it's gathering loads and loads and loads of location data. When you have your location on your phone, a lot of bad things can happen. You can have your identification stolen. You know, you can get in, maybe hack your Wi-Fi. Last September, GasBuddy quietly changed its privacy policy right under your nose. Now it can track your geolocation everywhere you go and therefore send you immediate advertising. Like, for instance, let's say you go through the drive-thru. Give me a place. Taco Bell. Let's say you go through the drive-thru at Taco Bell. Literally, when you go around the corner from the drive-thru and you haven't even left the parking lot, an ad can pop up on your phone saying, next time, try the Chalupa. That kind of thing.
Well, the Waze does that, too. The navigation.
Ad. Waze didn't even make this list.
Is that right? Yeah. But you'll get an ad. At the next exit, there's a Wendy's.
Now, you can set your permissions on your phone without being a genius, but it does take an extra step. There's something else on here called Facebook. I don't know if you're familiar with it. Facebook?
No.
Never heard of it.
Small, struggling company. You shouldn't be surprised by this one, considering all the news that's out there, but cybersecurity issues are huge when it comes to Facebook. Cambridge Analytica led to 87 million compromised files. The app is constantly running in the background on your phone. It's a battery drain. And send you push notifications to drain your battery and data limits all of the time. It can take photos and video, record audio, add or delete contacts, read text, and access your calendar. All the standard permissions you would grant to it on your phone. If you can't quit Facebook, they say add a shortcut to Facebook on your phone's home screen on Android or bookmark it under your favorites on an iPhone to keep the data harvesting to a minimum. But just downloading the app and accessing the app the traditional way is not the way to go.
It's, you know, you'll get those emails that say, oh, the permissions have changed or our privacy, policies have changed.
And it's a long, lawyerly document.
And who reads it?
Nobody. You know what Joker malware is?
It sounds scary.
Just turned out 24 Android apps have been infected with this malware. It's designed to sign you up for subscription services without your permission. That could cost you a bunch of money if you don't routinely check your bank and credit card statements. Because these subscriptions will be billed automatically.
Hmm.
So they access your credit card information. They sign you up for something that maybe costs $1.99 or $2.99 a month. And if you're not paying attention to your bill, you might not notice the $25 or $30 you're spending a year on it. Multiply that by thousands and thousands of victims, and you make a lot of money.
Even if I personally signed up for something that's a subscription, it's really impossible to cancel.
In a lot of ways, yeah. But let me give you a few of these. These are Android apps. Okay. I'm an Android guy. The rest of you guys are on this show, iPhone. At least are iPhones. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But here are a few that you need to seriously consider getting rid of today. Advocate Wallpaper, Age Face, Alter Message, Antivirus Security, Security Scan Breach, Camera Board Picture Editing, Climate SMS, the Collate Face Camera, something called the Cute Camera, Dazzle Wallpaper. Let's see, the humor camera, the leaf face camera, the mini camera.
Those sound so innocuous fun. Hello, Sparkle. Who wouldn't want Sparkle on their phone?
Print plan scan, the rapid face scanner, the Sobe camera, and Spark wallpaper. All of those can get you in serious trouble on Android. Get rid of them. Cam scanner's got to go. Do you know what a cam scanner is?
No.
They found malware in several different versions of the Cam Scanner app. It's a Trojan dropper, and I was not in a band called that. You probably don't have a fax machine or a printer with a built-in scanner readily available. If you do, great, use it. But when somebody asks you to scan it, Cam Scanner comes in handy. You take a picture of a device.
Oh, gotcha.
Two clicks later, you can scan it to somebody. Problem is, Trojan malware.
I have something called Tiny Scanner. It's an app.
Just sounds adorable. That can't be harmful.
You wouldn't think so.
I've just gotten a note. They say Tiny Scanner kills more Americans every year than anything else.
The scariest ones...
Tiny Scanner's not on
the
list.
Okay.
Are the scariest apps are the ones that are supposed to help protect you, like the security apps that are actually the ones that are stealing your information.
And you know what one of the biggest criminals is when it comes to pilfering your data? And they swear they're not doing anything with it, but they have access and permissions for just about everything? The YouVersion Bible app. This is the biggest Bible app in the world. I have it on my phone.
Well, good thing I'm a...
The most popular Bible app, YouVersion, has about 300 million phones that it's been installed on as of this year. And it collects all of your data, can connect and disconnect your Wi-Fi whenever it wants, modify the content stored on your phone, track your location, read your contacts.
That's terrible. You're just trying to get your daily scripture in for the day, and then you're just giving out all of your personal
information. Then you're praying not to be hacked.
And technically, Jesus can watch you any time of the day or night anyway.
With or without the app.
That is true.
Yeah.
Well, listen,
Jesus don't need no app.
No.
Not as, only is Jesus listening to me, but Siri is listening to me, because I can just be having a conversation with someone that I think my phone is off. But then the next time I'm on my phone, I see ads for whatever I was talking about.
Don't even get me started on Siri and Alexa. You think it's weird when your dog watches you do it? What do you think Alexa's listening to? A rep from YouVersion told the Popular Mechanics people, you have nothing to worry about. The app's permissions are meant to ensure the best possible experience for our users.
That's always when I'm reassured.
Amen.
When someone says, you have nothing to worry about.
So I'm just going to be ignorant of all apps from now on. Just not even investigate any apps.
So not investigate them or delete them, or just leave what you have on your phone and hope for the best?
Yep. Okay. Not go for any more.
I'm telling you right now, denial is the best way to handle
That's
technology.
Right. You have to.
720. We'll come back with the most valuable person on the planet.
The Steve Cochran Show presents the most valuable person on the planet. The MVPP is sponsored by MegaPros. They make it fun to get stuff done.
And now it's time to move on to a little something we call
the most valuable person on the planet.
Tell you what, I have memorized every app on every phone in the universe, as you know, Dave.
Yes.
But there could be one or two that slip through the cracks. Wow. So here's your text question today. What's your favorite app that I ought to know about? This app that you use, you go, this is so cool. I bet Steve doesn't know about this. 312-981-7200, text it in. Tiny scanner I didn't know about. Yeah.
Do you know about the app Calm?
Yeah, meditative.
Oh. Yeah. Ooh la la, I am impressed.
Well, you probably noticed, but during the entire 8 o'clock hour most mornings, I'm in meditation. introduce our new friend here, will you?
Yes, she is our MVPP. This is Ms. Tina Cernette. Am I saying your last name right?
Yes, you are.
Perfect.
Let's get your microphone on there. That'll help. Tina Cernette is the founder and executive director of the Sports Shed. So were you a jock as a kid?
I was. I played softball and basketball for the most part.
Brothers and sisters?
I had one sister, older than me, so when I was born, I think I was supposed to be the boy. But
well, you're a very attractive boy, so congratulations. But there's a story that I heard about you that you're 7 years old, and you're hanging around in your backyard, and you realized at that point, playing with your cousins, your singular goal in life was to be competitive and to do something in sports. So certainly at 7, you didn't know what that would be.
Right. I mean, I was certainly raised in a family where sports was really a big deal and, you know, and enjoyable. And it really taught me how to be competitive. And it really developed who I am as a person now in many different ways. So, you know, that's kind of what led me to what I'm doing now.
The Sports Shed, what is it?
So we are a nonprofit organization. We supply sports equipment to schools and under-resourced programs all over the city of Chicago.
Bats, balls, things of that nature?
Yeah, bats, balls, football helmets.
Where's the gear come from?
So we started out by getting gear through like collection drives and, you know, manufacturers who have overstocks, and you know, we pretty much you know, roam the earth to find whatever we can find that's
beg, borrow, and steal.
Yes, exactly. High quality. We're looking for high quality gear that we can pass along to kids who you know, really need an opportunity to be able to participate and have, you know, quality items.
What do we know? We know that kids have never had a bigger weight problem in this country due to a lack of activity. They combine that with the fascination with all things related to your phone and burying your face in the screen. There's less incentive to move,
right?
And kids ought to be moving. We're seeing cardiovascular disease in teens and 20s. It doesn't have to be that way. I mean, right. Along with the community aspect of doing something in sports, even if it's just gym class, it's a great way to socialize.
Yeah, especially for a lot of underserved communities, and I know that you focus on that too. You said over 200 schools and school programs. Like, where are these programs and schools located?
So we concentrate on Chicago for the most part. You know, there's, believe it or not, there's over 600 schools just in the city of Chicago. And many of those schools are vastly under-resourced. They have very, very teeny tiny small budgets for things like athletics. So when it comes to being able to provide kids with athletic programs, it's they're struggling big time. So we come in and work alongside with them to you know, to make sure that we can get the kids uniforms and, you know, whatever they need to compete and feel like they're part
and
of
and play.
Yeah, yeah.
And Dave,
Tina, what gear is the toughest for you to get? What do you have the biggest shortage of?
You know, lately we've been working with a lot of high school football programs, and that's, I mean, like I said, we roam the earth to find what we can, but, you know, I'd say football helmets, they're a very costly item, and, you know, that's one of the most difficult things, but we, you know, it's important for us to provide that piece of safety. And you know, I'll give you an example. Crane High School, just a couple weeks ago, they were trying to make sure they had enough helmets for their program, and we came in and we were able to provide brand new Riddell helmets for them.
Wow!
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
great.
So,
well, that allows the team to get on the field.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, they weren't
a season saver.
It is. It was. Yeah. It was.
That's
absolutely.
An essential item. I'm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You're not
right?
playing.
Not put the kids on
yeah.
the field
yeah,
without.
You're not
helmets.
Playing without a helmet.
No.
Give me one of your favorite stories. This is your 10th year, by the way, for
yes,
the sports
is.
Set.
Yes.
So happy anniversary.
Thank you.
It's a great milestone. But a story you like to tell folks about a kid's feedback or somebody you really felt good about helping.
Yeah. We help a lot of, you know, larger programs, overall programs. So one of my favorite stories is of Sarah Good STEM Academy. It's a high school on the south side. They basically only had baseball as a sport in the school. Mm-hmm. And they wanted to start a football team. We were able to, you know, help them start a football team with barely any budget. And then it's just blossomed into now they have 26 sports. They have, you know, volleyball, basketball.
Wow, from 1 to 26.
Yeah, yeah.
How cool is that?
Yeah, so that was several years ago, and now they have, you know, all these sports in the
That's
school.
That's tremendous.
And, yeah,
yeah.
So.
This is your life's work.
Oh, yeah.
This is your, I mean, I'm sure more than a full-time gig for you, right?
Yeah, yeah.
How can people listening help? Like, where do you get your funding from? And
yeah, so we've really come a long way in terms of getting funding through grants and corporations and things like that. But, you know, we're far from what we need in terms of those kind of things. So anyone who can help connect us to corporate funding, grant funding, even individuals who, you know, hear this and say, you know, I know sports was really important to me and my path.
And they're moved to help.
Yeah, exactly.
So can they donate on the website?
Yes. So you can go to thesportshed.org and you can donate right there online. We have a lot of information on there and other ways to get involved.
I like the name too, because that's where your gear was. It's out in the shed.
Yeah, it's in the
Mom, where's my bat? It's out in the shed. Right?
Yes,
that's what you always hear.
Right.
It's out in the shed.
Especially the hockey gear.
Woo.
Oh,
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Oh, another thing is if you have equipment to donate or if you want to do a collection drive, a lot of kids do their, like, bar mitzvah projects for us or, you know, all different kinds of community projects. And you can also take your gear to Play It Again Sports. We have a relationship with a few Play It Again Sports stores like Naperville, Northbrook. Just tell them that you're bringing it there for the sports shed. They'll put your the value of that equipment on our credit, and then we'll be able to go in and get exactly
That's great.
What we need.
What a cool idea.
Yeah.
That's very smart. Dan is on the phone from Evanston. Dan, how are you?
Good, thank you. Wonderful, wonderful concept. I think it's a great program. I'm just curious, do you get much support from the professional teams in Chicago?
That's a great question.
Yeah, we've gotten some support in terms of funding. We've gotten a little bit of funding from the Cubs, and you know we've had some other teams who have brought in some gear and things like that. We could use some connections to those organizations where we can kind of get a deeper partnership and relationship going.
Can people contact you specifically through the website?
Yeah.
Shoot you an email or whatever?
Yes. So Tina, T-I-N-A, at thesportshed.org is okay. where you can reach me. And, you know, anyone who's got some connections or some interest.
I can tell you right now, the Chicago Blackhawks are probably the most generous organization I've ever seen in professional sports, and we certainly could help you connect there if you haven't already.
Sweet.
And
that's great.
Sports is plural, so it's SPORTS.
Yes. There's,
S-H-E-D.
Yeah, there's two S's in there together. Thesportsshed.org.
Well, nice work by you, Tina.
Thank you.
And
thanks
unfortunately,
for having me
on. It's a lot of pressure because you're not luckily the most valuable person on the planet.
Yeah. But you know what that means? Yikes. Everybody's got to applaud, you know, give you a round of applause everywhere
sitting,
you
go. You get the rare sitting ovation on the Steve Cochran Show. Yes. We'd stand, but the headphone cords
all
are
right,
too short.
Right. It's nice to get the recognition, but just really more excited about being here to get the word out about the Sports Shed.
You're a good person. TheSportsShed.org?
Yes, that's right.
All right, got it. 7:34, headlines next, 720 WGN.
Bacon's the best. Even the frying of bacon sounds like applause. It's like, good bacon is to improve other food, they wrap it in bacon. If it weren't for bacon, we wouldn't even know what a water chestnut is.
Thank you, bacon. Sincerely, Water Chestnut the Third.
That's a great Jim Gaffigan. One of the funniest guys in America by far. Great stand-up comedian and a great actor. Is being recognized for the same. He's getting great reviews for this new movie, American Dreamer, the Steve Cochran podcast. I think I'm changing the name of the podcast. Steve Cochran. I didn't know that. Because who knew Jim Gaffigan was a great actor?
And you're not just saying that because he's your friend.
No, he's really good. He's really good in this movie, American Dreamer, which is scary.
Hmm.
Yeah, very scary. Anyway, I sat down with Jim yesterday. You get the whole podcast at WGNradio.com/Cochran. And I asked Jim, I said, where do we see this movie?
Theaters everywhere on Friday, but that's 10 cities in the U.S. And then it's video on demand. And I learned
almost
this
immediately?
It's immediately on video on demand.
Okay.
And I learned this when I released Noble Ape, where it was also in limited theaters, and then it was on video on demand. A lot of people just rent things video on demand, iTunes or whatever.
American Dream. Give them the premise.
I play a rideshare driver who is, people are rideshare drivers for different reasons.
Sure.
Some of them, it's kind of like a side job. Some of them are in school. Some of them, this is like their last gig.
Right.
And this guy's kind of like, this is his last option. And eventually he's, that ridesharing thing is not that profitable. So he ends up driving around a drug dealer, which kind of backfires, and he blames everyone else for his problems.
Right.
So there's an absence of accountability. And so I identify with that. I struggle with that. It's everyone else's fault. It's not my fault that I'm fat. It's everyone else's fault.
I would argue there's a good portion of America that lives in that world all the time.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't watch it with a kid.
Right.
But
it's got that Hitchcock thing to it because it builds and builds and builds. Now, seeing you in this movie, even if you've just seen the trailer, where does the anger come from? Because I don't get too deep in actor talk here, but you got to be able to call that up. You got to be able to bring that out. I mean, that's pretty impressive.
Oh, well, thanks. I mean, I think every man has anger, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I have three sons, and I think that for men, it's like we're the ones that become civilized. I feel like women they're the civilized ones. Men are the ones that are kind of, we have to, control our anger. And
we have to evolve to get there.
Yes, we have to get there, I think. But I have anger underneath. I mean, I think that's why comedy is so effective, is like when something bothers me, it'll kind of, it'll ruminate inside me, and then I'll find a way to articulate it.
The woman that plays your wife.
Yes.
Tremendous.
Yeah.
And
she's great.
A bit of a scene stealer because she's not in a lot of the movie.
No, she's not. And I think she's on Broadway right now.
Is she?
I mean, she's amazing.
And the guy that plays the drug dealer.
Yeah.
Where'd you find him?
They found him. He's a TV actor. That guy, Robbie Jones, he was in character the entire movie.
Oh, so he's method.
And so...
So you got to talk to him like that at catering?
Well, here's the thing. I didn't know that he was doing a method thing until we rapped, and then this warm, bubbly guy came out. Because he plays a really...
Wow.
Dark, heavy guy where he's like, you're like, oh, this guy doesn't like me. Right. And then at the end, he's like, geez, Jim, I just think that you were so good in the movie.
Wow.
And I'm like, wait a minute, what happened?
Who are you?
But some of it is the method thing. It's not so much, I don't think it's necessarily motivated out of some grand kind of artistic thing. It's almost easier to stay in character.
Yeah, and it's a necessity for a particular actor.
And focus.
All right, now my hope for you is, and I think it's obvious it's going to happen, is that you're going to get offered stuff now that's a broader range. I mean,
I would love it.
Because now you're still going to get the funny stuff, but there's going to be people that go American Dreamer, because the way casting agents work is they want to go what worked before,
right?
What works now.
Right.
So I mean, you must feel good about that.
Well, you know, I hope, you know, the entertainment industry is brutal.
Yeah, it is.
You know, I did this play on Broadway. I've done other indie films. You don't have control over what's going to get the industry's attention. But if this can help me get another job, that's all I'd want.
There's a great moment from your latest special, which, you know, that's funny throughout, but it just 100% nailed it when you talk about XXL. I made it.
Yeah.
How about a hand for me?
Yeah. It's a pretty interesting threshold, right?
Right.
Because it's everyone. It's not like, oh, we're in the minority.
Nope.
You get in your late 40s, your metabolism comes to a screeching halt.
Yeah.
And, you know, your knees don't work, so you can't work out that much. Nope. So you're just like, you know what? I'll just go up to 2XL. This right. isn't that bad.
Give it a little room. I can still buy a shirt.
You know, like, it's weird, but I would never even fathom being in the 2XL. World.
No.
Like, when I was in the XL thing, I was like, I can't believe I'm XL. I mean, I've been XL before, but 2XL, there's a certain resignation with that. You're like, you know what? I'm going 2XL.
And here's the thing.
Yeah.
There's big and tall shops all over the place.
Well, I think also there's, you don't even have to go to a store now. You can just like, all right, I'll get this shirt.
That's where we are.
Isn't that amazing?
It really is. But don't you think there ought to be in those stores? It's like seeing a fat guy at a health club at the front desk. In those stores, there ought to be a fat guy selling you clothes. I don't want to see a guy in shape. And the last thing I want to see is a hot girl.
Oh, that's a great point.
Right?
That's a great point. Because I think it's also hard. I mean, Chicago, I got to my hotel at 8. And I probably spent 2 hours convincing myself not to get a deep dish pizza. I grew up in Northwest Indiana. I don't know. I had it maybe like once every 5 years. Right. I've come to Chicago 4 times in the last year, and I've had deep dish pizza every time. It's almost like I treat it like it's about to become illegal. Like, I should probably get it. You know, I don't know if they're going to allow this anywhere. It's like, I could get it shipped to New York.
Right.
I don't know what happened. And, of course, I had, like, a cheeseburger last night at 11 o'clock that was $500.
And that's healthy. I think we can both agree. Have a cheeseburger at 11, but fall asleep by 11:15.
Do your joints hurt?
Sure. Inflammation. Yeah. You know what that is? That's salt. You know what salt is? It's stuff that makes your food taste good. It's all one big full circle. And if people want to follow you all the time, what, JimGaffigan.com?
JimGaffigan.com.
Yeah.
And I'm coming back to Chicago.
Yeah, you have a show coming up.
October 12th, 13th, around there.
Chicago Theater, right?
Chicago Theater.
Yeah, it's a lot of seats. I'm glad you could sell it.
I'm excited.
And you still want me to come in and juggle for half an hour?
I want you to come. You're going to juggle.
Yeah.
You'd be good at passing out flyers, too.
You know what? I'm going to have to stretch. I don't want to pull anything. You'd be good at passing out flyers. Such a sweet compliment from Jim Gaffigan.
Do you know how to juggle?
No, I have no clue how to juggle.
There are a lot of comedians that know
juggle's
how to juggle.
Just a funny word to me. We'll come back with a text question. What app do you think I should know about that I probably don't know about? I'm going to expand this a little bit. Apps you think should exist.
Aha!
Or bad apps. Apps that are just bad.
That's even
just
better. Bad.
Like I just saw one. Learn gymnastics at home.
You need one that says learn how to juggle.
I'm sure there's a juggling app. But I think learning gymnastics at home is a bad idea anyway. You want to get your own pommel horse? You're alone at the house? It's a bad idea.
You're going to knock that lamp over.
put a balance beam in your kitchen?
Dave, I don't know if you heard. G was just making fun of me for being bald.
I did hear that.
Yeah. I was so not.
Shocking.
Trying to ignore There's, it.
There was a punchline following that. I have to tell you the
Sorry,
rest of
I had
of
to put
it.
My headphones on. I didn't hear that part.
The rest of
All
it.
All I heard was you making fun of bald people.
No, I was not. The rest of it, I'll tell you during the commercial break.
It's too late now. I'm too hurt. Look at me. Look how hurt
you really did put the headphones on fast.
Auditure is on track to be the worst year ever for data breaches. According to research and security firm, more than 3,800 data breaches were reported in the first 6 months of the year. Just eight of those exposed more than 3.2 billion records. That's nearly 80% of all records exposed so far in 2019. Look, good thing LifeLock and LifeLock Identity Theft Protection has added the power of Norton Security to help protect you against threats to your identity and your devices that you can't easily see or fix on your own. If there's ever a problem, they have agents who will work to fix it. And we know nobody can prevent all identity theft or cybercrime or monitor transactions at all businesses. But LifeLock with Norton Security can see threats you might miss on your own. Act now, and for a limited time, get 30% off your first year with promo code LifeLock. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or go to LifeLock.com. Use the promo code LifeLock. You'll save 30% off for expires October 6th. Don't wait. Join now at LifeLock.com.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Apps you think I ought to know about? Really bad apps or apps you wish existed? YNAB. I don't even know what this is. YNAB. It's the best budget app ever, says the 312.
How?
I don't know.
Hmm.
YNAB. You can look these up while I go through these. Digit, a great app. Makes me kind of nervous. Great app, though, for helping you save money. It's D-I-G-I-T-T. Digit. Texter says. Love you guys. Thank you for that. 630. I know I'm going to try this. Flight Radar 24. Flight Radar 24. Texter says, so cool. You know what plane is above you, where they're coming from, and where they're going.
That might scare me.
There's one I use. It's Flight Stats, mm-hmm. which gives you the delays at different airports.
Well, this is like you're standing in your yard.
And you can see what flight. Yeah. I actually have seen that. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
TikTok. TikTok is what Vine used to be. Said if you like Vine, you'll love TikTok. You know about TikTok?
Yes, okay. I do know about that.
The WGN radio app, 630, says, get it. You get to listen to Dave.
Oh, that was nice. Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Favorite app from the 619, Weed Maps. Guess what that one is.
Ooh, does it tell you where medical
where
marijuana?
Where in your yard there are weeds?
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, no, it's where cannabis dispensaries
are. Oh, I was right.
And it gives you coupons for discounts.
That was my idea. Wait.
By the way, YNAB is an acronym for You Need a Budget.
Oh, okay. Makes sense. The USGS Earthquake Tracker. There's also something called Earthquake Alert and Earthquake Tracking.
Oh.
Tells where all the earthquakes are in the world.
We have to know that. Why?
I don't know.
It's good to know.
From the bad app category, Learn Brain Surgery at Home. Yeah, that wouldn't be a great app. That we can't advise that. There's an app called Clue. Do you know what Clue is?
No, I don't.
It's not the game. Clue is a period tracker.
Like a menstrual cycle tracker. Oh, well, I just don't like the name. Why is it? It's not a mystery.
Seriously?
Like, that's ridiculous.
That was not my idea, by the way.
That's from the Dark Ages.
Okay, don't get violent on us.
Sorry, I'm just saying. There are a lot of apps out there for people, especially if they're trying to get pregnant and ovulating.
Yeah. A lot of those.
But
all of
Clue,
those things.
Isn't there a chance this is for men?
Clue,
don't be a jerk at home. You're going to be murdered.
Well, you know what? Men also have a menstrual cycle, just FYI.
They do.
So we need an app to track men's menstrual cycles.
And theirs is a lot worse.
That is real. I will say that. And menopause, too, is a big deal.
Indeed.
Yeah. Menopause.
Thank you, Steve Krasanich. You are on our side.
Right now.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The stuff I learned on this show.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I have nothing to add at this point other than to tell you we'll have more of these apps, and that's your text question of the day. Good apps, bad apps, and apps you wished existed. I could add one to that, apps that I wish existed. I like to have an app where I'm sitting in traffic and somebody's crossing the street and they're on the phone. And they're taking forever, or they're in my way because they're on the phone. And I could hold my phone up to mm-hmm. them and hit like the camera button or something, and it shuts their phone off. Just completely shuts it off.
I wish that I had an app. I don't drive that often, but when I do drive, there's always that person that waits to the very last moment to take an exit that you know is going to back up onto the highway.
Sure, and they cross eight lanes.
Yes, and then they also cut in line. There's like 30 people waiting. Yep. Yep. Patiently.
So you want an app where their tires are deflated?
Yes, exactly.
Well, or one that gives them a shock.
But ooh, a low level shock.
Wow, I like Mary's. That's yeah, even that's violent.
Especially if they're on their phone.
Yeah.
That's yeah.
Right. That's right.
I mean, it's one thing if it sneaks up on you, but I think most people that take a commute every day know which exits those are.
Yeah, well, most of the time in traffic now, the biggest problems are people staring at their phones because, yes, mm-hmm, they're still looking at their phones and not realizing where they are on the road or on their commute.
Because they're looking at their, you know, GPS yeah, on their phone.
Or they're yeah, just looking at their phone for other things.
Yeah.
Like this morning, I was doing my taxes. Mm-hmm. On my phone.
You were.
While I was
wow,
driving.
I can't even believe that you do your own taxes.
Well, you're early.
I don't.
Or late.
No, this I is mean, for October.
Oh. Oh.
This is the 6 month taxes. It's 8:02. We've got to take a break. We'll come back. Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. That's where Steve will be. And then more on entertainment after that.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah,
each morning at this time, not for us, for you, we bring you more on entertainment. More on entertainment. Doesn't have an app, but Dean, this morning I was asking people to suggest apps. Mm-hmm. Or tell me about good apps or bad apps. Somebody suggested a more on entertainment app where they don't mine our data. We just give them our Social Security number and bank account numbers.
Yeah, that would be good.
Yeah, because we're morons.
What I would like is that we set up an app that when you click on it, it goes back to your own homepage. Goes back to your own Facebook account.
Yeah, again, more on entertainment.
I'm highly offended by that.
Jewel? How about an app for Jewel? This is one I've just thought of.
Oh, I have that one.
The app for Jewel is not the Jewel app. It's an app to tell you the fastest line.
Oh.
Based on data and an algorithm, which yeah, line will be fastest? Because I hold a world record for in my entire life, I pick the wrong line. Every time I go to pick them, there could be like one person in front of me with one item. The next line over is 47 people deep. I go stand behind the one person, and they're doing a full security check on them, a pat down. They're coming in. They're running wands over them, and the 47 people get through before
you gotta,
I do.
You got to do some profiling when you're standing in line. If the people in front of you look like they're going to have trouble swiping their credit card, you don't want to be in that line.
Just why don't you go to the self-checkout line, Steve?
Well, I love the self-checkout lines.
But again, with a self-checkout line, there's usually somebody that goes, why is this beeping? Why is this beeping at me? What's the squiggly box thing? Why do I have to do that?
I do okay in the grocery store. It's the airport security line that I always pick the wrong line.
Dean loves those people.
I do. Now the TSA people, I greatly admire them for what they have to put up with. Because there's only about 500 warnings before you get up to the gate telling you what you can and cannot have to go through. And always,
oh, I didn't know that was meant for me.
Yeah, I can't bring a pistol with me through the line and a bottle of water.
You're telling me C4 explosives are not allowable?
My pocket knife. It's always in my pocket.
It's the people that ruin that.
So anyway, keep those apps coming. That's our text question. Good apps, bad apps, and apps you wished existed. 312-981-7200. There's a lot of apps I didn't know existed. I thought I had them all memorized.
You're so high tech.
I really am. So you weren't kidding about Gaffigan's movie. It's great.
Right?
Yeah, it's great.
Right?
He's great. He's better than the movie.
His performance makes the movie, really.
No, it really does. Because the movie's got some holes in it. He's not one of them.
It's an interesting story. There are a couple of holes in it. Nothing deal-breaking. But Gaffigan's performance is mesmerizing.
Yeah. You know, when I sat down with him for a podcast yesterday, I asked him where all the anger comes from. And he looked at me and paused for like 10 seconds. And he went, I don't know that that's any of your business. Wow. And I ran out of the room and tried to find security.
Going diva on us so soon.
So, all right, we come back. The 25th anniversary primetime special that Channel 9 refuses to promote or talk about.
We're very modest.
We got a comedian who's been fired from Saturday Night Live 4 days after he was hired.
I really want to get your take on this.
Rick Ocasek. Dean knows why he died, and he's going to tell you.
I want to get your take on that, too.
Dog the Bounty Hunter is hospitalized.
And that.
Now, is that a bounty hunter and his dog, or is that one person?
No, I believe that's his nickname.
All right. And Liam Hemsworth, how he found out he was getting divorced. All of that coming up. Dean, can you stand by?
I'm standing right now.
Excellent. More with Dean Richards. More on entertainment in just a second.
Celebrate 25 years of Chicago television's number one morning show. Watch a live two-hour special full of memorable moments.
What? Does Dean know about this?
I don't, have you heard about this? It's tonight.
What is that now?
The WGN-TV Morning News 25th anniversary special.
No wonder I'm so tired.
It's tonight at 7 on WGN-TV.
You'll be calling his name. Dean Richards, the entertainment editor. Channel 9720.
All right, we'll get to the seldom promoted big anniversary show. But first, this SNL comedian, I've never heard of the guy. His name is Shane Gillis.
Shane Gillis, comedian who's done podcasts. And he was hired 4 days ago to be part of the new cast on SNL that'll premiere at the end of the month. In those 4 days, it was revealed that he had done some podcasts, some social media posts with comments and statements that some people found racist, homophobic, misogynistic, and he's been taking a lot of heat for it the last few days. Interestingly, normally when this kind of thing happens with comedians come to their defense and say, you know, you don't understand comedy. He's, you know, using his own voice. It's just a joke. It's just comedy. But this is the first time that I can recall where other comedians have come forward and said the dude went too far. It was too much. I haven't actually read or
I've got seen the comments the right here, comments. And you can't really say them. But at any rate, this guy's was on a podcast called Matt and Shane Secret Podcast that he is on with somebody named Matt McGusker. The specific comments about Asians: damn, Chinatown is effing nuts. Let the effing chinks live there. And mocking Chinese folks with the fake accent and talking about the effing hassle of ordering food from somebody that doesn't speak English well. Well, certainly not the King's English like you do, young man. He's 31 years old. He's been doing stand-up for 10 years. This is the hacks route, just so we're clear, you know, to be the outrageous guy. But Saturday Night Live did absolutely no vetting of this guy. And the internet lives forever, so this is where all this stuff's coming from. I don't know, Dean, to be honest with you. First off, gee, as an Asian woman,
yes,
does that type of language from a comedian immediately get you in a position where you don't want him on a show?
No. My personal opinion is that it does not, because I'm a huge proponent of free speech, especially when it comes to comedians. I think you've also got to know who you are and where you rank as a comedian. I mean, Dave Chappelle can say things that maybe he can't say, right? And I give more leeway to Dave Chappelle, but generally that didn't bother me. I felt that he needed to be given a second chance. But kudos to SNL for hiring the first East Asian comedian Bowen Yang. I'm really excited about actually seeing somebody that looks like me and up there
on the show.
Yeah, because I've been watching it since I was a little kid. But I mean, Asians in general have a big problem because we're the silent model minority. We deal from positive stereotypes, and truthfully, racism against Asians aren't taken as seriously as racism and other racist slurs against other minority groups. And the reasons are a variety of reasons that we don't have time to
different
go
level
into.
Of harsh.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think there's a different level of harsh now. Remember Mickey Rooney in Breakfast at Tiffany's?
Sure.
With the fake buck teeth and the thick glasses and the horrible, horrible stereotype of Asian people. I think it was specifically Japanese people then. My sister-in-law is Japanese, and her family found that incredibly offensive. of depiction of their, you know, so of course he's got the right, everyone's got the right to say whatever they want, and everyone else has the right to either pay attention or to ignore.
Well, I remember a Bugs Bunny cartoon with the giant buck teeth and the thick glasses.
Yeah,
and,
well, that was either during or right after World War II. So.
It's incredibly damaging, and it's very pervasive. It's a different type of racism that Asian Americans have to deal with that's very different than Latino and African Americans have to deal with. It's just a different type of... It's much more difficult to fight, I think, because people don't really acknowledge it against Asian Americans,
right?
Because people think Asian Americans aren't, one, really a minority, two, are perpetually foreign, and we don't really have any problems, and we also don't complain. So it's a longer issue.
I just think, I mean, I'm none of those things, but I just find it very disrespectful. Steve and the kinds of people that Steve brings to his stand-up show that you can be hilariously funny without being profoundly disrespectful and rude to other people.
And by the way, if you do it that way, do it well. Dave Chappelle, Richard Pryor, guys who made profanity sound like poetry, don't just do it because you're trying to make a name for yourself. So anyway, look, there's two things going on here, right? Saturday Night Live's a business. NBC's a business. Lorne Michaels is still one of the most influential people in show business, let alone in comedy. And if Lorne Michaels fires somebody because they went over the line, I'm not surprised, Dean, the comedians aren't coming out to protect this guy.
Yeah.
And then you throw the extra layer on that people don't know him and he hasn't done anything.
Yeah, and the bottom line is, now that this guy's been fired from SNL before he even started, he now becomes a hot property because he's the guy that got fired from SNL.
Yeah, there's plenty of room on the internet for him, sadly, or rightfully, depending on your viewpoint.
And big difference from like a minority comedian like Dave Chappelle and Richard Pryor, despite even their success, but just being a minority and having gone through racism, they can speak to it in a different way.
Yeah, redneck from Tennessee or wherever he's from, you don't get as much.
And you always say it's a cop-out.
It is. It's cheap.
Yeah.
Rick Ocasek died of what?
Heart disease, basically. They're a very long... complicated exact diagnosis, but basically it was chronic heart disease. He had had some surgery not too long ago and was recuperating from it. That's when his estranged wife of 28 years, Paulina
Portizkova,
went to for a wellness check on him just to stop by, and she was the one that found him lifeless, but it was heart disease that took Rick Ocasek's life.
75 years old. Dog the Bounty Hunter?
Is in the hospital right now, also with heart disease. Over the weekend, he was getting severe chest pains. They rushed him to a Colorado hospital. That's where he remains today. A representative for him said that he's resting comfortably, and they're doing tests.
Did his wife just die?
2 months ago.
I'm sure that's
That's part of the story, I think.
They're going to cut into your bounty hunter time if you don't take care of yourself.
Yeah.
Liam Hemsworth, it's hard
to be a dog if you're in the hospital.
What up, dog? Liam Hemsworth?
Liam Hemsworth, brother of Avenger Chris Hemsworth, was married to Miley Cyrus. About a month or so ago, it was announced that their marriage wasn't working out. They were splitting up. The way Liam Hemsworth found out about this was by seeing it on social media. He knew that there was trouble in the marriage, but one day he was in his native Australia. He wakes up, he's looking on social media and sees a statement that had been released by Miley Cyrus's people saying that we're separating, we wish each other the best.
That's how
he learned about it.
I gotta say that your relationship has problems if you announce your split to the world before you tell the person you're splitting from.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's more important to tell the world on social media than to actually tell a person.
And, Dean, I don't know what you're doing tonight, but it turns out there's a big thing going on at TV.
I'm going to be watching.
You should go.
I don't know about that. I prefer to stay home in my underwear and watch it.
You could actually go to this show in your underwear.
That's very true, and nobody would bat an eyelash. It's our 25th anniversary primetime special for WGN TV Morning News. It's on live from 7 to 9 tonight, and we've got a lot of clips that have not been on the air since they originally aired during the 25 years. Lots of memories, lots of new original things that are going to be coming up. I'm sort of in charge of the celebrity archives. the A-list interviews. This was one from, this was maybe like 10 years ago.
Okay.
I sat down with, I was talking to George Clooney.
Mm-hmm. You sure it wasn't me?
Actually, George, it was, well, this, this was actually before I knew you, I think.
Okay.
I'm talking to Clooney about, you know, how many times I interviewed him and how many times we've sat down together. And he was a little bit reflective about talking with me. Has it been as great for you as it has been for me?
Well, I'll say this. Since we started together, you started, I'd been doing it for a while, but you came around in 1999.
Yeah.
I will say that my takeaway sitting here with you is that, well, you haven't aged well, I'm going to say.
So there you go. The stars love with their Uncle Dean. Got that and so many more clips.
He's a funny dude.
Throughout tonight. He's a great guy. You know, he's the very, like, the major A-listers. He was my very first guy that I, literally the first person that I sat down to talk
to.
No
kidding.
Was Clooney.
Were you nervous?
Big time.
Mm-hmm. Now, here's the thing. If you get caught in an elevator with somebody, you want it to be Tom Hanks and George Clooney.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, two of the best guys, period.
You guys think you want that.
You don't? Yeah, I suppose so.
Imagine how I would not.
Yeah, I suppose that's true. Here's what you don't want. You don't want to be in the elevator with Meg Ryan, Tommy Lee Jones,
yeah,
and Mel Gibson.
Mel Gibson's my best friend.
I forgot. You've made up.
Yeah, we're best.
Will we see those clips?
You will see those clips tonight. You will see Meg Ryan, Tommy Lee Jones, and Mel Gibson tonight.
Yeah. You're kidding me. Meg Ryan? I'd heard that about Tommy Lee Jones.
Oh.
But
oh, Tommy Lee Jones is the worst.
I heard, but Meg Ryan?
Yep.
Tommy Lee Jones is intentionally mean. Meg Ryan is just bitter about life.
Yeah, she was.
I think John Mellencamp's a hostage.
I don't understand that. I do not understand.
He was always a really cool guy.
I have a lot of respect for John Mellencamp now. He's a stronger man than I am.
He's got a new song out on the latest album. It's called I'm Blinking Out, Help Me.
Maybe it's because her lips are always pushed together now. Yeah. With her face.
She had a lot. She was beautiful. And she had all that plastic surgery.
Some of that unfortunate. Yeah. Yeah.
Just because it's buy one, get one free. Don't get both procedures. You know what I'm saying?
You cannot go in and say, I'd like to look like Jack Nicholson in Batman.
That's
not a good thing to do.
That's a really bad idea.
When you go for cosmetic surgery.
Have a great time tonight.
See you, bud.
Okay. That's Dean. He's working three shows in the next 24 hours. This one tonight and back tomorrow morning.
Probably has a parade tomorrow, too.
Yeah. So. Never ends. Headlines next, 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Yeah, I know, Rebecca. I just like this song. Good apps, bad apps, and apps I wished existed. I've got a couple others. If you park in handicapped parking without a tag on your mirror, I have an app that immediately deflates all of your tires.
Mm, kind of similar to my app.
Mm-hmm. We could partner.
Yeah.
If you cut in front of people in line, another one of these, my time's more important than your time, then I have an app where if I push a button, you immediately get the flu. And I mean the really bad flu.
Oh, that's cold.
How about if you call, like the telemarketer's calling your phone all the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
I push 5 and to borrow Mary's idea. You get a mild but significant electrical shock back on your end of the phone, signifying my lack of interest in your product.
Love it.
Mm.
Beats blocking the call because that never works.
Yeah, government did a nice job of taking care of that, didn't they?
You know what
doesn't
app
work?
I have an app. This would be a very useful app. You know how like when you're waiting for Comcast or mm-hmm. somebody to come mm-hmm. by and fix mm-hmm. something, and they tell you that they're going to be there anywhere between 8 a.m. and 2 p.m.
Yeah.
In the app. I want an app that tells you exactly. It's going to track that service person,
mm-hmm.
so it tells you when they're actually going to be at your place.
Comcast is doing that.
I think some of them do.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, but it's still like a 2-hour window.
Also
something.
Works for UPS and FedEx and delivery people because you never know. It says it's like you know you got like if you have to sign for a package.
Seems like a reasonable request.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Let's see here. I had another one I'd forgotten. Oh, here it is, right here. 630. I want a Slurpee app that tells me which flavors aren't working at any 7-Eleven. I don't want to waste my time.
One. Yeah, Popeyes needed that app when they were running out of the chicken sandwiches, too.
Good point.
Mm-hmm.
Sven says Coke is the only flavor that matters. And then I got a list here of some really freaky apps. The fake stalking girlfriend. This is a South Korean thing.
programmers can offer you what they do in South Korea for an app. It's not available here, but there's a bunch of different versions of this. It's called Honey, It's Me. It's an app that sends you 4 video calls each day from attractive 20-something models. There's 100 messages that rotate.
Wow. So you can fake having a girlfriend?
Or pretend that you have a girlfriend if it's just you. Yeah.
Yeah.
How about rating last night's date? Date Manager gives you a 5-star reminder of just how well things went the first time. So if you're dating, serial dating, you'll have a record. It seems like you could remember that.
Mm.
But also you can rate people like on a Yelp basis on how the date went.
Actually, I was I have a friend who dates a lot, and he's quite the eligible bachelor about town, and I feel like he kind of puts little notes next to the person's name in his contacts list. So it's a little similar to that.
Hand warmer?
Okay, right after the date app? This sounds very confusing.
It does, doesn't it? Your fingers are cold. You can't even tweet. How about a hand warmer? It's not actually a hand warmer. It's an app that shows you a picture of things that are warm or hot to make your hands feel better while you're holding your phone.
I don't know if that's going to make me feel better.
No. No. You know what that is? That's stupid. Let's see. This one won't work. What about this one? The How to Survive an Apocalypse app. Fire up your phone with the building shaking, the ceilings falling, and take the time to fire up one of the many first aid or survival apps. They'll give you handy tips like how fast to run and in what direction.
If your phone actually works, because all the cell towers will be down.
Oh, that's a good point.
Or you might be low on battery.
And finally, Bubble Wrap. Bubble Wrap app with Snap, Crackle, and Pop. You just click on the plastic air pockets, and it simulates the bubble wrap that you like to play with. But you don't get the thrill of popping it with your own fingers.
Oh, yeah. You want that, you know, palpable, textural.
That's what I'm talking
about.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
Oof.
And by the way, parents, whenever your kids from high school in particular sneak back in the house, lay down a nice roll of bubble wrap on the way to their room. The lights are off. They're trying to sneak back in. You'll know they're home.
Did you do that to Ross?
No, they were good kids. Yeah. Ross did it to me.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
9 o'clock hour, Adam Hoge on your Bears and the rest of the NFL.
Find out about the skin of their teeth or the...
What was the ham quote? Yeah. They barely got out of town by the hair on the skin of their teeth.
The hair on the skin of their
teeth. Something like that.
Ew.
Yeah. And if I have time, I want to give you this story. A couple of tourists are facing charges after taking a picture looking directly into Old Faithful as the steam poured out. You can't do that because you'll die and you're an idiot. So these are both problems.
Why? So, I don't understand some of the choices people make.
Because they're dumb choices. There's a reason the rope's up, genius. All right, we'll come back at 9 o'clock news coming up from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom next.
And the kick by Pinheiro is good. It's good, and the Bears win it. In one of the most dramatic finishes you'll ever see, the Chicago Bears beat the Broncos 16-14 on a 53-yard field goal by Eddie Pinheiro.
Do the Bears have a kicker?
I think they do, yeah.
The Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Oh, a tribute to my old friend Eddie Money.
You get it there?
And baby, hold on to me.
Because Eddie was money on Sunday.
Ah, Joe doesn't miss a trick. Eddie Pinata. Good morning, Adam Hoge.
Hey, guys. How's everyone doing?
We're fine. How are you?
I'm good. Just processing a little breaking non-Bears news right now as Eli Manning has been benched in New York in favor of Daniel Jones.
That didn't take as long as people thought it was going to take.
Daniel Jones
is who?
He is the Duke quarterback that Dave and I have seen many times over the last few years.
You swallowed too much of him, actually.
Yeah.
He's good?
Yeah.
He is pretty good. And I love this every year, guys. There's always one or two teams, and the Bears were the same deal just a few years ago. Oh, yeah, we're going to draft a guy in the top 10, but we're not going to play him. We promise. We're not going to play him. Yeah, sure. Okay. It only took 4 weeks for Mitch Trubisky. It only took 2 weeks for Daniel Jones, and Dwayne Haskins will be next in Washington, although I don't know it'll happen as soon as next Monday when the Bears play the Redskins.
The backup quarterback situation here is what?
In Chicago?
Yeah.
Well, it's Chase Daniel, and only Chase Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
So, he's really there.
How do we feel about that? Adam Hogue. How does Adam Hogue feel about that?
I feel like he is a really good backup quarterback to have in that room for Mitchell Trubisky, who can come in and fill in for a couple weeks if he needs to. But if Trubisky were to go down with a major injury, it would be a problem.
I have some breaking NFL news.
Yes, what's that?
Tom Brady is a very successful guy. I don't know if you two are familiar with him.
Mm-hmm.
Won a number of Super Bowls and has been lauded for the way he takes care of himself. And he's talking about playing until he's 50. And don't doubt him. He may end up doing that.
I even know who he is.
Yeah, of course, because, you know, because he's cute.
He is hot.
But Tom Brady, in, I would say, an episode of Did We Really Need to Know That, was on WEEI. Do you know the story, Adam Hogue?
I think I know where you're going.
On the Greg Hill Show. And somehow the topic came up of how do you keep the ball from getting too wet from the sweat from your center?
Yeah, we kind of heard this story.
You two did, but the public didn't. Yeah, and it's my job to let people know.
Steve, what people might not want to hear this.
What is the center? What's a center?
The center's the guy that snaps the ball.
Yeah, the guy whose butt is right in his face.
Speaking of butt, since all parts of your body sweat, what do you do about butt sweat? Because the center sweats all the time. Tom Brady, here's his tip. Tom Brady says you stuff towels down your center's pants to keep the center sweat from getting on the ball. He said it's kind of like a wristband for your butt. It soaks up the sweat. You swap it out. Trainer's got a little baby powder. You're all good. I played football, as you know, Adam Hogue, at the highest level in upstate New York in my high school.
Were you a center?
I was not a center. I was a lineman. I didn't know this was a problem.
But, yeah. I mean, aren't the uniforms so tight that you don't really sweat through them? I mean, aren't they like
you? Nah, you take a 290, 300-pound guy.
You sweat more when things are tighter.
But, I mean, doesn't it wick? I would think that they would use top-of-the-line.
Wicking material?
Yes, like it would be.
I don't think you question Tom Brady, even when it comes to your center's butt.
He has a very weird diet, though. He doesn't, like, eat nightshade vegetables, all sorts of.
Let's hope his center doesn't have a weird diet. Adam Hogue, your thoughts on this very important story.
Hey, if Tom Brady, the best quarterback of all time, says to keep your butt dry, you listen.
Oh, man.
By the way, look for Adam Hogue's new blog post on centers and their butts.
That's a good line.
Yep. Just think of that.
All right, so here's the thing. The Bears did not look good. The Bears pulled it out. A win is a win. Winning ugly is still winning. Do they do anything this week that changes the momentum of this offense?
I mean, I don't know what they can do. That's sort of the problem here. I don't think that there's just an easy philosophical switch or easy go out and trade for a guy type of solution. This, I think, is just going to have to be a season-long process of getting Mitchell Trubisky more comfortable in the offense. And we shouldn't be at this point right now, guys, but we are. And he needs to play better. And the offensive line, though, too, needs to block better. I mean, there was where the Bears got their only touchdown in Denver the other day, it took six plays to get in from the five-yard line, running the ball five times.
That's not good.
I know. And they got a help from one penalty, the only time they tried to throw the ball on that entire drive. So, look, I like Matt Nagy's approach right now. I think he's accepting what he has at quarterback, and he's trying to find a way to win a football game, as ugly as it might be. But this thing, I think it's just going to have to be a week-by-week process. The only, I guess, good news is this time last year, we were having similar conversations. Now, that's not good in the grand scheme of the quarterback problem with Mitchell Trubisky, but it is good in that they found a way to have games where he looked good and they did score points. I am concerned, though. I definitely thought the Bears' offense would look better than it has through 2 weeks.
Well, here's one thing they can do to change it up this week. They can play Washington because Washington has the worst scoring defense in the NFC. They're the second worst
scoring defense, meaning they're giving up the most
points.
Giving
up the most points. Only, I mean, Miami's given up a ridiculous number of points in their first two games. But you know, it's going from facing Vic Fangio's defense, where you kind of have that element of facing a former colleague and a guy who knows you very well, to going and facing a team that has struggled defensively through the first two games. And if they don't succeed there, and granted, it's a Monday night game, it'll be a big build up for that.
But I would think that could be a big confidence booster for them before they come home and play Minnesota the following week.
Yeah, and it is a fair point. I mean, I do think the Bears have faced two of the better defenses they're going to see this season, although the Vikings will be tough a week from, you know, next week, too. But they're not all going to be this hard. And so that is a definitely a fair point to bring up. I think the Packers' defense, I probably underestimated them a little bit.
I think everybody did, Adam.
Yeah, I mean, I thought they were good. I didn't think they were this good. They look pretty good through 2 weeks. So that is a factor. You know, you're going to play teams that you should be able to move the ball a little bit easier. And the Broncos are good. They're good at home. And Vic Fangio obviously knew what he was walking into on Sunday. So those are all legitimate factors. And I do think that'll make things a little bit easier on Matt Nagy and Mitchell Trubisky. But, man, it's tough. When you see all these other young quarterbacks around the league making the plays that they are, I certainly understand the angst that's building amongst the Bears kingdom right now. Because number 10, I don't know what it is. You just sometimes... He doesn't seem confident right now. He doesn't seem smooth in his operation. He's still missing guys wide open downfield, like that one throw to Taylor Gabriel on Sunday. And I just, you're still waiting, and you're waiting, and you're waiting, and you're wondering when he's going to break out, because I still think the talent is all there. There's no question about it.
Is Patrick Mahomes a once-in-a-generation quarterback, or did the scouts just flat miss it?
Well, I think the scouts all knew that he had an incredible high level of talent. I think they were scared of the offense he was playing in college, and I think that they just saw a guy that mechanics just really needed to be coached up. But you know what? This is why I think the answer to your question, Steve, is yeah, he probably is a once-in-a-generational talent, because there are some guys that ultimately the mechanics just sometimes don't matter. They can be all over the place, and he still makes every single throw. And that's what it looks like with Patrick Mahomes right now. He is just really, really good, and he doesn't need to be perfect mechanically. He knows the offense. He was coached up well by Andy Reid, and a tip of the cap to Matt Nagy, too, his rookie year. So he's a special guy, and I think that some teams were just a little too scared to take a chance on him, and obviously the Chiefs are being rewarded for not being scared.
The reason I bring it up is the confidence thing. I've never seen Patrick Mahomes not look like he walks up to the line knowing he's going to make a play, at least believing he's going to make a play. I mean, I think that makes him better than everybody else right now.
Well, and that's the hardest thing to scout here with the quarterbacks. It's what's going on between the ears, and you just can't really tell that from college. You can ask all the coaches in the world. You can interview them at the combine, but that's only 15 minutes. You can bring them to your facility. You can take them out to dinner in North Carolina like the Bears did with Mitchell Trubisky before they drafted him. But you're still never going to know until they get to the NFL level. They start to look at NFL defenses. They start to comprehend their own NFL offense, which is much different than college. There's just no way to tell. Everything is an unknown to a certain extent, and some guys just work and some guys don't.
Is this where a team psychologist or psychiatrist can come in and help?
Maybe, but I don't know how a psychologist...
It's actually a very good sports question.
No, and I know it. And some teams do have those people on staff.
Yeah, most do.
Don't the Bears have one?
Yeah, pretty much everybody's got a mental skills coach at
this
point.
But we're talking about somebody who's going to sit down and go, tell me about your mother.
Well, that's
or maybe hypnotize the confidence in.
But I'd like to see the mental skills coach get out there in the pocket and stand around with a football in their hands with giant 300-pound men running at them and try to make process what they're seeing 30 yards downfield.
Mm-hmm.
Good point.
Yeah. Do you believe Trubisky has the talent to be as good as we thought he could be?
I still believe it. I still believe he has the talent. There's no question he's athletic. He's got a big arm.
I think he's shown, at times, he's shown flashes.
You optimistic or cautiously pessimistic?
I
think you just answered the question. You're cautiously pessimistic.
That was a big sigh.
No, I still think some guys develop at different paces than others.
Lord knows I did.
Yeah,
I mean, it took you a while.
I didn't reach puberty until I was 45.
Yeah, so.
Let me ask you this, guys. If he becomes Alex Smith, are you okay with that?
No.
Okay.
It's not good enough.
So you guys are saying that there needs to be more rhythm and more explosive plays. Is look that what you. You're saying?
Well, look at you. Did you bump your head and suddenly know sports? Look
I'm
at just, you.
You know, I'm learning the sport talk.
Well, wow. I have explosive plays. I mean, that's also...
That's how I got in position to make the field goal.
That's also assuming that you have... Yes.
So right. It's a rhythm.
I mean, that was a big-time play he made on 4th and 15.
It was.
You know, but you to have explosive plays on a consistent basis, I mean... Allen Robinson has the potential to be an explosive kind of player. You got to have guys around the field, and you have to have an offensive line protecting your quarterback for those kind of plays to happen on a consistent basis.
But correct me if I'm wrong, Adam Hoge. The Bears' talent on paper and for real should never be in a position where they need that kind of play to beat the Denver Broncos with their level of talent.
On offense? I mean...
What we expected, I suppose, would maybe be a better way of putting that.
Right, but it all goes back to the quarterback. I mean, yes, we all thought the quarterback would be playing better through 2 weeks. Now let me say this. Look, I do, and I was talking, I was really closely watching Mitchell after week one from a confidence standpoint, because that, I think, was a big blow to him. To spend all offseason really truly believing that what you did in the fourth quarter against the Eagles in a playoff game was going to lead to success in 2019, and to have that bad of a, not just him, but the offense and everything that happened in week one, struggle the way they did, I think was something that no one, including them, thought was going to happen. Mm-hmm. And so I just think this is going to be a week-to-week process of building that confidence back up, and maybe the solution right now, guys, is to play the Washington Redskins on Monday night next week, because their defense doesn't look good. If you can complete some passes, make some big plays, then maybe you can get the confidence back in the quarterback right now.
The injury to the Jets quarterback last night was what?
So Trevor Siemian, who played at Northwestern, had his – he was – and they actually called roughing the passer on the play – by Myles Garrett, but he got his ankle just got bent under him, and it just Look, it was one of those that you wince when you see it. But he walked off. That's the amazing part. He actually walked off the field after he was down for a few minutes.
You never know. I mean, the Anthony Rizzos looked terrible the other day, and yeah. You know, it sounds like it's just a sprain. So,
and is Colin Kaepernick ever going to get a shot with all these quarterback openings?
I think that question's already been answered.
The Colin Kaepernick ship has sailed.
I think it's sailed.
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Adam Hoge. Where do we get to all that you do?
WGNradio.com/Bears podcast blogs, columns, whatever you want to call them. It's all up there.
All right. Thanks, bud.
All right. Thanks, guys.
That's Adam Hoge, Dave.
It is, Adam. And you also hear Adam on our Northwestern football broadcast roaming the sidelines.
Right. And he doesn't even have a ticket.
No, but they let him in.
Yeah, lucky.
Because he's Adam Hoge.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Breaking news, Steve.
Steve, ABC News political commentator Cokie Roberts has died at the age of 75. We're just getting word from the network this morning. But apparently Cokie Roberts had been battling breast cancer for a number of years, and her family says she died of complications from breast cancer at 75 years old. Not only a political commentator for ABC News, but also for National Public Radio.
She was great.
Yes. Author of 6 New York Times bestsellers on women in America. Political commentator, ABC News anchor, Cokie Roberts has died at the age of 75.
Sad.
Yes.
I guess I didn't. I'd heard she was sick, but I didn't realize that it had gotten that level. Her husband, Stephen Roberts, was a writer, and they came in on the show several times, talked to her several times. Delightful lady.
Yes, Cokie was just on this week. She was regular on This Week with George Stephanopoulos, and she was just on a couple of weeks ago.
Well, God bless.
Yeah.
Thanks. Steve will be back with the rest of the news next, 720 WGN.
Dave, I forgot to ask you this. Aren't you friends with the Kansas City Chiefs radio play-by-play man?
Woo, woo, woo. You know it, bro.
Here's why. I can't help but walk around and say, touchdown, Kansas City!
Traitor!
I don't care about the team. I care about Patrick Mahomes and Mitch Holthus. And by the way, if they're in town, they can stay with me.
Welcome to my sleepover.
I like great broadcasters. That's why I like you, Dave.
Thank you, Steve.
I don't like it personally. I just love you as a professional.
You've made that abundant. Clear.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Last chance for you to tell me a great app that I may not know about it. Pardon me again. A bad app.
Mm-hmm.
An app that's dumb. An app you don't think anybody should have. Or an app you'd like to see. Or one you made up. All of those.
630 to block spam callers, you should download Should I Answer the app. I have that.
Oh.
The problem is you have to add. It's a community thing. So every time you get a spam call, you have to rate the call and put a description of it in.
That's too much work.
Yeah, and then the computer on the telemarketer's end just picks another number.
The better, just don't answer the phone if it's not, you know.
Or do what my father did on a regular landline forever. Don't answer the phone.
Yes, exactly.
I believe his theory was it'll eventually stop ringing. 630, how about an app to fast forward or rewind life? That would be cool.
Okay, now we're going into the time-space continuum type of thing. Because then I'd create all sorts of apps.
630, an app to be useful for people that slow down to about 20 miles an hour and blow through the red light, making a so-called right turn on red without fully stopping. We push a button, causes their engine to blow up.
Oh, man.
Yeah, how about the app for the person in front of you is the first person in line at the light? The light goes green.
Oh, and they sit there.
And instead of just a friendly toot of the horn, I would like a Titanic ship horn to go off.
Okay, but there's the other side of that, too.
Which
is? The people that, like, you're at the light, it just turned green. Just give yourself a human second to be able to push the gas pedal to go. It's usually somebody that honks.
Yeah, it's me.
It just turned green.
Now, what do you want me to do?
Where do you have to go that quick?
I've got to be there.
It's humanly impossible to go any faster than...
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the person who sits there and you give them 5 good seconds. 10 seconds.
Well, they're looking at their phone.
Exactly. That's why the ship horn would be a good thing. And then 630, we waited several hours for Comcast once. When he was done at our house, he pulled off our driveway and called again, telling us a similar story as to why he was late. Apparently, he thought he had called the next customer on his list, and he had just called us back after he left the app for tracking service people.
I just need an app that, like, when you order French fries at a restaurant, I want to know that my French fries were just fried.
You want them fresh?
Yes, not the batch. You know how they have a batch that's just been sitting there under the lights?
What about this for a restaurant app? An app where you've ordered, and it's taking longer than it should, and you're starting to get aggravated, but a clock shows up on your phone to tell you how much longer it's going to be. Because then it tells you whether or not you need to complain.
You would never complain at a restaurant.
Oh, I complain, sure do.
Well, you do?
For the right reasons.
But they know that it's you.
I complain not to be a jerk. I complain because, you know what I always do? I go up to the owner. I go up to the owner or the manager of the place.
I'm so sorry.
No, I go up and go. I literally say this. I said,
you know why you don't do that? Because you're a man, but go ahead.
If I were you, I would want you to know this. Your people suck. Not your people
Please.
Suck. I would say it took forever to get the service. The waiter was rude. Whatever. Because if you're running the business or managing the business, you should want to know that.
I just need an app to tell me immediately whether somebody's crazy.
A lot of people want apps to wonder if I'm near them somewhere so they can avoid me. Jim Gaffigan was in yesterday. His new movie is called American Dreamer. He's great in it. And it opens Friday in limited release, but video on demand everywhere. He plays Cam, a driver for a Lyft or an Uber-type service whose life has spun out of control. Gaffigan in here yesterday. I said, well, where are we going to see it?
Theaters everywhere on Friday, but that's 10 cities in the U.S. And then it's video on demand. And I learned
almost
this
immediately?
It's immediately on video on demand.
Okay.
And I learned this when I released Noble Ape, where it was also in limited theaters, and then it was on video on demand. A lot of people just rent things video on demand, iTunes or whatever.
American Dream. Give them the premise.
I play a rideshare driver who is, people are rideshare drivers for different reasons.
Sure.
Some of them it's kind of like a side job, some of them are in school, some of them this is like their last gig,
right?
And this guy's kind of like, this is his last option. Eventually he's that ride sharing thing is not that profitable, so he ends up driving around a drug dealer, which kind of backfires, and he blames everyone else for his problems.
Right.
So there's an absence of accountability, and so I identify with that. I struggle with that. It's everyone else's fault. It's not my fault that I'm fat. not. It's everyone else's fault.
I would argue there's a good portion of America that lives in that world all the time.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't watch it with a kid.
Right.
You know.
But it's got that Hitchcock thing to it because it builds and builds and builds. Now, seeing you in this movie, even if you've just seen the trailer, where does the anger come from? Because I don't get too deep in actor talk here, but you got to be able to call that up. You got to be able to bring that out. I mean, that's pretty impressive.
Oh, well, thanks. I mean, I think every man has anger, right? Yeah. I mean, I have three sons, and I think that for men, it's like we're the ones that become civilized. I feel like women are, they're the civilized ones. Men are the ones that are kind of, we have to, you know, control our anger. And
we have to evolve to get there.
Yes, we have to get there, I think. But I have anger underneath. I mean, I think that's why comedy is so effective, is like when something bothers me, it'll kind of, you know, it'll ruminate inside me, and then I'll find a way to articulate it. As
the woman that plays your wife.
Yes.
Tremendous.
Yeah.
And a bit of a scene stealer, because she's not in a lot of the movie.
No, she's not. I mean, I think she's on Broadway right now.
Is she?
I mean, she's amazing.
And the guy that plays the drug dealer.
Yeah.
Where'd you find him?
They found him. He's a TV actor. That guy, Robbie Jones, he was in character the entire movie.
Oh, so he's method.
And so.
So you got to talk to him like that at catering?
Well, here's the thing. I didn't know that he was doing a method thing until we wrapped, and then this warm, bubbly guy came out. Because he plays a really dark, heavy guy where he's like, you're like, oh, this guy doesn't like me. Right. And then at the end, he's like, geez, Jim, I just think that you were so good in the movie.
Wow.
And I'm like, wait a minute, what happened?
Who are you?
But some of it is the method thing. It's not so much, I don't think it's necessarily motivated out of some grand kind of artistic thing. It's almost easier to stay in character.
Yeah, and it's a necessity for a particular actor.
And focus.
All right, now my hope for you is, and I think it's obvious it's going to happen, is that you're going to get offered stuff now that's a broader range. I mean,
I would love it.
Because now you're still going to get the funny stuff, but there's going to be people that go American Dreamer, because the way casting agents work is they want to go what worked before,
right?
What works now.
Right.
So I mean, you must feel good about that.
Well, you know, I hope, you know, the entertainment industry is brutal.
Yeah, it is.
You know, I did this play on Broadway. I've done other indie films. You don't have control over what's going to get the industry's attention. But if this can help me get another job, that's all I'd want.
There's a great moment from your latest special, which, you know, that's funny throughout, but it just 100% nailed it when you talk about XXL. I made it. I made it.
Yeah.
How about a hand for me?
Yeah. It's a pretty interesting threshold, right?
Right.
Because it's everyone. It's not like, oh, we're in the minority.
Nope.
You get in your late 40s, your metabolism comes to a screeching halt.
Yeah.
And, you know, your knees don't work, so you can't work out that much. Nope. So you're just like, you know what? I'll just go up to 2XL. This isn't that bad.
Give it a little room. I can still buy a shirt.
You know, like, it's weird, but I would never even fathom being in the 2XL world.
No.
Like, when I was in the XL thing, I was like, I can't believe I'm XL. I mean, I've been XL before, but 2XL, there's a certain resignation with that. You're like, you know what? I'm going 2XL.
And here's the thing.
Yeah.
There's big and tall shops all over the place.
Well, I think also there's, you don't even have to go to a store now. You can just like, all right, I'll get this shirt. I'll get this shirt.
That's where we are.
Isn't that amazing?
It really is. But don't you think there ought to be in those stores? It's like seeing a fat guy at a health club at the front desk. In those stores, there ought to be a fat guy selling you clothes. I don't want to see a guy in shape, and the last thing I want to see is a hot girl.
Oh, that's a great point.
Right?
That's a great point, because it's, well, I think it's also hard. I mean, Chicago, I got to my hotel at 8, and I probably spent 2 hours convincing myself not to get a deep dish pizza. I grew up in Northwest Indiana. I don't know. I had it maybe like once every 5 years. I've come to Chicago 4 times in the last year, and I've had deep dish pizza every time. It's almost like I treat it like it's about to become illegal. Like, I should probably get it. You know, I don't know if they're going to allow this anywhere. It's like, I could get it shipped to New York.
Right.
I don't know what happened. And, of course, I had, like, a cheeseburger last night at 11 o'clock that was $500.
And that's healthy. I think we can both agree. Have a cheeseburger at 11, but fall asleep by 11:15.
Do your joints hurt?
Sure. Inflammation. Yeah. Inflammation. Yeah. You know what that is? That's salt. You know what salt is? It's stuff that makes your food taste good. It's all one big full circle. And if people want to follow you all the time, what? JimGaffigan.com?
JimGaffigan.com. Yeah. And I'm coming back to Chicago.
Yeah, you have a show coming up.
October 12th, 13th, around there.
Chicago Theater, right?
Chicago Theater.
Yeah, it's a lot of seats. I'm glad you could sell it.
I'm excited.
And you still want me to come in and juggle for half an hour?
I want you to come. You're going to juggle.
Yeah.
You'd be good at passing out flyers, too.
You know what? I'm going to have to stretch. I don't want to pull anything.
Still such a great insult. You'd be good at passing out flyers.
You would put a lot of gusto behind it.
Mm-hmm. I'd be a flyer killer. I'd crush it with the flyers.
Well, he didn't say that. He said
that's a good point.
Not great.
He said I would be moderate to decent.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
Bill and Wendy are here. Before we get to what's on your show, the text question of the day was really good apps that I should know about, bad apps that I probably should know about as well, or apps you'd like to see. And we've had some fine texters chiming in this morning. You guys got any you like? Got an app you'd like to see?
I have an interesting one, Steve.
Which one is that?
It's an app called Who's That Guy? So what it is if you're walking down a street and there's somebody you see and you kind of recognize him, but you're like, did I go to school with him? Is he a neighbor? You just point it at him, and it tells you who that guy is.
I would love that.
Wouldn't that be helpful?
That'd be really good, because I'm terrible with names.
Me too.
Yeah, I know.
Sorry, Scott.
Yeah, exactly. But if I was able to have, like, you know, a face recognition app that came with a name.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I could do something subtle, like hold the phone up right to their face.
Yeah, they wouldn't notice that at all, probably.
Just taking a selfie the wrong way.
Or did you ever work in an office with somebody and you've seen that guy almost every day for a year, but you don't know what that guy's name is?
Sure.
It might be Paul.
I got fired by a guy I never met. Yeah, I mean, it was just years and years that I apparently worked for him. But I think, who's that guy? Who's that guy is a good idea.
Yeah, I'm going to start that.
I can't that. That's the
pretty
best.
Good. That's the best.
Or girl, right?
Yeah,
there's also a version called Who's That Guy.
Okay.
Yeah. No, why would they have that? Just Who's That Guy, that's it.
But in general, Wendy being the exception, aren't women better knowing names?
Way better.
No.
Yes, but I'm still the worst. Mary, evidently you are too.
I'm terrible. You guys are meeting a lot of people, though. That's why. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know?
Andrea Dallas just was at a function, and she sends me this picture of, she goes, this woman knows you really well, and she wants to say hi, but I can't remember her name. And I'm like, well, neither can I. I don't even remember her face. And I'm looking at her.
Yeah, that's not good.
Well, I do
That's
remember.
Not good when somebody says, I don't know who this is, but they know you. Here's
the
phone.
Yeah, they know you really well. And, you know, I recognize her face kind of, but
no,
I think I knew her like 40 years ago.
Well, lots of people know you really well because they hear you talking to them every morning.
But this is somebody I supposedly really knew well.
And I know this text is from a female because a male wouldn't think twice about it. It's called the I'm Sorry app.
Mm-hmm.
When you screw up in traffic, it just flashes I'm sorry so you can avoid the human eye contact.
Oh,
thing.
Good.
Oh.
That's very strong.
I'd rather give the glare. I wouldn't use that.
Why don't they just throw a finger out the window?
But I love smiling and being like, I'm sorry, if somebody's really angry and yelling at me. It just makes them look like they're flying off the handle.
Yeah, kill
them
with
kindness. And it gets them madder.
It does.
And then they pull out a gun and the whole thing turns into something. We'll come back and say hi to Bill and Wendy about their show, but not yet. Right after this on 720 WGN. All right, Bill and Wendy, what are you doing today?
Well, Greg Kot will stop by. We lost two giants from the world of music in the last week, and he will go through their careers with us.
Eddie Money and?
Rick Ocasek. I don't know how to say it anymore. Ocasek.
Yeah.
If you put Rick Ocasek and David Bowie together, would you have the combined weight of a regular human being?
Yeah, roughly, but almost. Mm.
Ecto and Morph.
Yeah, not even.
Skinny, skinny dudes.
Yeah.
Did you ever meet David Bowie?
No, I didn't. Mm-mm. Did you?
Wait, yeah. Did you?
Like a pen.
Wow.
Really?
Like crazy skinny.
Oh.
And I was probably at my fattest when I took a picture with him.
It's a picture of the number 10.
It was. It's exactly what it was. Yeah.
Can you find that picture? We need to
No,
put
I
that
burned
up.
It. I burned it, and then I got
Steve.
It out of the ashes and reburned it again.
Steve.
So, all right, we're going to come. Dave, are we coming back tomorrow? We doing a show tomorrow?
I'm not, but you are.
Where are you going to be?
I'm going to be out of town tomorrow.
And who's going to be here in your chair?
Mark Carmen.
Okay.
We will miss you. Safe travels.
Thank you. I'll be back here on Thursday.
Oh, well, then I'm not going to take the time to miss you then. Wendy?